Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 8, Number 9. Last month, I reviewed and discussed the concept of consistency. Now, this is a very important word, perhaps one of the most important of all. It's absolutely necessary to be consistent, and it is needed. You've got to be consistent to be really successful in life. I don't care what you're doing, where the application or what it is. You have to be consistent, whether it's an athlete training for a sport, whether you're a businessman engaged in a business. No matter what it is that you're doing, you have to be consistent. Einstein said not to pursue success, but rather make yourself of value. Focus on value. So if you make yourself valuable, success comes. So that was his own story. He wasn't doing what he was doing to be successful. He was creating value, and he became successful. And that's the model that I like. It's like the heat that's generated from burning the wood. You chop the wood. You have to physically work first. The heat that's expressed, that's the money in our lives that comes from the work that we're doing. But don't do it only for the heat when it comes to your life ambition. The consistency has got to tie in with our heart and our mind and our soul. I think that that's why people are not consistent today. They're not committed long term. They're not ambitious. They're not clear. They lack clarity of vision. So consistency, keep that one close to your heart. On this edition of Clinical Review, I want to talk about something that also is absolutely incredibly important, and that is the necessity of education. The educated mind and education and what that means and what it means to be educated. Now, I recall not long ago when Trace and I were in Portland, Oregon, while on tour in the U.S. As you know, we've just finished 20 states, the western side of America. We went to about 1,200 health food stores, about 500 gyms. Very exciting. Lots of stuff going on. Met a lot of incredible, wonderful people. Now, we train pretty much every day. You know, I like to train 5 days a week, my Five Steps to Health program. But in an RV, and because we weren't staying at the RV camps, we were going to the gym. That's where we would shower and work out. We'd always do some stretching, some cardio, some core, some weight training, mixing and matching, but always moving and always looking forward to getting fit and having that fitness experience. Going to a different gym, meeting different personal trainers and supervisors, meeting members on the floor, getting engaged with people and interacting with many different sorts of individuals out there. I mean, we had the time of our lives. For us, it has been a dream come true, really, and we've proven out a lot of things. But one thing is that the RV lifestyle is a breeze for someone who's into health. Yes, you can stay super focused on health. You don't have to compromise anything in an RV. And it's really ideal, at least it has been for me, for healthy, fit individuals who seek spontaneity and who have a thirst for life. It's very nomadic. There's a lot of change. And that's what I love. That's part of my blood type B expression. I thrive in change. I embrace change. I seek change. I don't want things to stay the same all the time. For me, I get bored, although I've never really experienced boredom, and I don't even know what the word means because I've always been out there coming from inside in my head, wanting, wondering, going out to get something to find the truth. Now, we get a lot of emails from friends and students worldwide wondering how well we're able to eat in an RV when traveling in the United States, which is notorious for having the worst food in the world. And I say, are you kidding? We eat in. And whether we're in Vancouver, in a home, or in a house, no matter where we are, when we continue on with our journey, whether we're in Fiji or New Zealand or South Africa, no matter where we are, my desire is not to eat out, but it's to prepare my food, no matter how simple it might be, whether it's a protein shake or a salad with natural dressing or some type of wild game. Like when we go to New Zealand, I'm definitely going to eat a lot of lamb and mutton because that works really well for me. Grass-fed, no pesticides, that's a healthy animal. So you're going to eat in, and the idea is to shop wisely for the whole fresh organic food that you're going to eat. And yes, it does take more time and energy to go out and find decent food, but it's going into your body. Now, I figure this, if you don't spend money on health today, you're going to spend a lot more money on illness in the future. And that's just simply the way it is. So I think it's like getting your brakes fixed when they're starting to squeak, as opposed to waiting and then spending an arm and a leg on getting an entire set of drums versus just changing the pads. I think preventive medicine works exactly the same way. Tend to matters now. Don't wait. Don't put them off, because if you do, it'll get worse and worse, and then the entire system will collapse. Now, for those of you who don't know, Tracy is really a fantastic whole food cook and the author of The Athlete's Cookbook, and she can whip up fantastic meals lickety-split without compromising nutrition or breaking any health rules. And I'm serious. It's just incredible. We blend shakes every day, and we down countless numbers of natural health products, take all kinds of vitamins and minerals and enzymes and herbal remedies, and it's fantastic. And once again, the protein shake proves to be faithful and reliant in a pinch. When you're moderately hungry but don't want a full meal, if you want something at nighttime before you go to bed, it's liquid, it's easy to digest, it's great for pre-workout, post-workout, in the afternoon. I think any time is a great time to have a shake. Just vary the amount of protein, carbs, and fats that are in the shake according to your individual genetic personality. So eating well is really only a question of desire and know-how. I don't care where you are. It's possible to choose the right ones, as in the right foods, and avoid eating the wrong stuff completely. So health is really a state of mind like everything else. It's what's going on inside your head. Now, while we were visiting in Oregon, we had the good fortune to tour the Nike head office. And what a facility. Any athlete at heart would love this campus that covers acres of land and employs over 5,000 people. We saw the Tiger Woods facility. We had a protein shake at the cafeteria, then headed over to the Lance Armstrong and the Mia Hamm buildings. Of course, I had to see the gym. And like Nike in general, it was first rate with a dedication to functional health and quality. Now, at the same time, the Super Bowl was going on. And of course, the Super Bowl is really a phenomenon in the United States. It's huge. But looking at people and how they focus on the business of sport, you know, it's really interesting because it gives me a good chance to observe people and the culture. And I think that you can determine a lot about a culture by watching the sports they play and how they play them. Because to me, sport, the sport of living, and sport, the practice of playing sports, and business and life are all the same thing. You've heard me say this again, that sport doesn't build character, it only reveals it. And I'm exploring this title and writing a new book with the manuscript. It's called Your Sport Type. And I think that based on the sport you love and the sport you hate and an analysis of your character in sport and why you hate and love certain ones, that we can find out a lot about who and what you are and then make the changes that are necessary to improve your character, to make yourself a better human being. Now, few understand that the original and true objective of sport is not to win, but rather to compete and have fun, to express learned skill developed through practice at the highest possible level. But that objective has been swallowed up and buried over time, as sport is now big business and only about winning, not how you play the game. It's only about winning. So the athletes will take steroids and they'll cheat and they'll break the rules and they'll injure people or injure themselves to win, because I guess they perceive that winning is going to make them a better, finer human being. So what is the difference between a winner and a loser anyway? At the end of the day, is there really that much of a difference? Because can you really remember the guy that won a certain medal 18 years ago in a certain event? No, the memories fade. And that person, who knows what he's doing right now? It could be working in a used car lot. So we're still left with who and what we are at the end of the day. In the moment, we get the glory. In the moment, we attract attention. But then when it's all over, everyone leaves the stands and goes home and has their spaghetti dinner. And they don't really care anymore because the next day is going to bring all of its worry, all of its cares, all of its activity. And people eventually kind of stop focusing on what happened in the past. So being in the United States, it's true. The intensity of sport all around me is greater there. I mean, it's much stronger than in Canada. There's no doubt. But, you know, there's a reason for that. And that's because the United States has 300 million people and we've got just over 30. So more people means more money, more business, and more people who really enjoy the healthy, active lifestyle. Believe it or not, now percentage-wise, I think Canadians have got the edge. There's more healthy-minded people percentage-wise in Canada. We're leaner, we eat less large portions, we eat less junk, but we're not that far behind the Americans who do everything in a big way. And when they suffer in a big way, that's because of their focus on doing everything in a big way. And if you look at the numbers and not the percentage, though, there's a lot of people in the United States that are well and healthy and that have a focus on being athletic. And so those are the people that we've been trying to connect with. Now, there's more vitamins and a better selection in the U.S., you can buy things like DHEA or acetyl L-carnitine legally. You can buy Kava right off the shelf. However, even the American retailers I've met agree that quality control is a problem. And believe me, I've put a line together in the United States and just putting it out onto the market without any license requirement, without any submission or need for approvals. You just buy the raw materials, get the labels, buy the bottles, put it in their warehouse and start selling it. That's how it works in the United States, but it doesn't work that way in Canada. Canada leads the world in quality control, but it's very restrictive. In fact, it's over-restrictive at times, even absurd and ridiculous, but it does protect the consumer in most cases. Now, education, let's get back to that. Education in the health, food, and fitness industry in Canada and America, probably all over the planet. I don't think it's any different. I've been to Australia. I've been into health food stores there. I've been to New Zealand and in Europe and in many parts of the world. And I don't really see it as being any different there than in Canada or America. So the problem is that the industry is not regulated by the governments of the world or by the industry itself. Like the industry itself doesn't set a mandate, a minimum standard of education. They provide it in some cases, but they don't set a standard. And you know, unless you make the licensing compulsory, the great majority of people won't do the work of the education, and that's why the industry is suffering. So here's another interesting observation. Although clearly related to one another, both the health, food, and fitness industry have evolved separately and apart from each other. But what they have in common is that neither industry has any minimum compulsory education standard enforced by federal, state, or provincial law. I mean, personal trainers are usually certified, but they don't have to be by law. You could just open up a personal training studio, having never taken a course and have no insurance, and there's nothing illegal about that. Now, whether or not you get any clients or not, that's up to you and your personality and your ability to sell yourself. But individuals engaged in the selling of dietary supplements to consumers in health food stores, maybe it's in a fitness center, a gym that sells vitamins, or maybe you're in direct marketing, they're not required by law. They don't have to be licensed or certified, which could be a good thing. But the problem with that is that because there's no minimum standard, there's a lot of hocus pocus going on. And unfortunately, there's a lot of snakes and rats that exist in the industry. And my theory is that if you had a minimum standard of really good, intense education that was required, say a minimum 2-year process to study the philosophy, the history, and the science, that would act as a screen for all the rats and the serpents and the snakes and the vermin, because those kind of people are absolutely not interested in education at all. They want to just leap out and start selling immediately and make money, as opposed to what's really required, and that is providing an excellent service with the know-how, the knowledge, the skill that you have earned through education. So most retailers that I've met that are really successful in the industry, in fact, all of them are all highly educated. That doesn't mean that they're formally educated, like they've gone to a college or quote unquote a university. Maybe they've done distance learning, you know, like the CSNA, for example. We're a distance education provider. And you know, in the old days, correspondence courses, that's what it used to be called, were deemed as some kind of low-life education experience. But guess what? That's all changing. And now all the big universities are starting to provide online distance learning because it's more practical and it's also a fantastic way to get super quality information to people with an interest in specific areas. You can just go right to the source of the information that you're interested in and not have to go through a bunch of stuff that you have no interest in at all. Now, children are not taught about the science of nutrition or exercise in our public or even private schools. Take any typical high school graduate and see if they can make their way through a fitness center without assistance, or detail food in terms of glycemic index, carbohydrate density, or macronutrient profile. I mean, just go ahead and ask anyone that you know these questions. Tell me about carbohydrate density or what the glycemic index of a pear is. And they just will like look at you like, what are you, out of your mind? So thus, there exists an enormous information gap in the area of sports nutrition in our society. This information gap, which is possible to fill and significantly narrow through education, is responsible for causing preventable sports injury, obesity, infection, degenerative disease, and even premature death. I mean, that's one of my points. If you know what to do and do it, then you can prevent a lot of pain and suffering. But first, you've got to know what to do. And then before you know what to do, you've got to want to know what to do. And that's the key. You got to want to know, because if you don't want to, you won't put the energy into the education. So the education comes after the desire. And the desire is not so much, well, I don't necessarily want to know, but if that's what I need to know to be well, then I better do what I need to do. And that's why we're motivated for the right reason. Now, $100 billion will be spent purchasing complementary medicine in the world market in 2010. According to the World Health Organization, Canada contributed $3.6 billion in 2000. And of this, approximately $1.5 billion was spent through direct purchase in health food stores. So the industry is growing and more people are shopping. But we need to stop preaching to the converted and start getting our message out to the masses, because it's the masses that's going to determine, based on democracy, whether or not we slip and slide or gain a solid ground and a firm position on ourselves when it comes to health. Now, in the U.S., the dietary supplement industry is a $23 billion industry and more. According to the most recent statistics from the Food and Drug Administration, or the FDA, there are 29,000-plus dietary supplement products on the market. That's a lot of products. And I think that there's too many products and not enough people that know enough about them. The dietary supplement and natural health product industry includes enterprises that sell, distribute, and manufacture products, preparations, and foods produced or grown from naturally occurring substances or sources as their primary activity. Now, when used correctly, these products help promote overall good health and prevent disease. Products like creatine, ribose, L-glutamine, HMB, antioxidants, probiotics, flaxseed oil, hemp seed oil, whey protein isolate. These things should be the mainstay for millions of athletic children instead of hamburgers, soda, and fries. I mean, are you telling me that refined, dead, sterile food is safer than creatine or ribose, which exist in the human body and in natural food? No, you're way off base. Recent surveys demonstrate that more than one half of North American consumers regularly take vitamins and minerals, herbal products, homeopathic preparations, and the like. You know what? I'm going to challenge that stat, because I think a lot of people buy them, but I don't think they're being regular. I think that the issue of consistency, which is what I was talking about before, is a big issue. Sure, you can have good intentions. You can sign up with a gym. You can go to a health food store and buy the vitamins. But unless you do it and keep doing it, not just for a day or a week or even a month is nothing. What about month in and month out? month in and month out, like a continuous circle, a cycle, never ending. You just keep doing what needs to be done and you get better and better at it. So less equals more. You reduce volume, you increase quality, you get stronger and fitter and healthier. That's the way it works. Now here's the deal. Almost every industry, as complex and technical as ours, and when I say ours, I mean the health, food, and fitness industry. Well, the industries that are as complex as ours and many more that are not even as complex or demanding, they demand some form of compulsory education. And why is that? Now, either at the beginning and certainly along the way, they require education. You got to take certain courses. Now, how can anyone advise anybody on something they don't understand? I mean, tell me I'm crazy, but shouldn't an advisor working in a health food store have an intimate, deep knowledge of every product available in the store? Let's start off with something simple, like where it is. Like, have you ever gone into a health food store and asked somebody for a product and it was sitting there right in front of them and they didn't know where it was? I mean, they're not obviously engaged in what they're doing. And is that their fault? Well, maybe partly, but I'd blame it more on the employer, the owner, because he's or she has hired that kind of person to represent their store. It all comes down from the top. Now, my automobile mechanic is honest and has a degree in mechanics. And when I bring my car to him for service or repair, I tell him what I want, I tell him what my problem is, and then after an inspection and a detailed analysis, he tells me what my car needs and what I should do. Now, the reason I brought him the car is because I'm not a mechanic. He's skilled, okay? So the reason I walk into the vitamin shop is because maybe they've got something I need that I can't get, and possibly there's a person in there that can help me make the best choice. So my expectations are not being met if I walk into a store and the person isn't knowledgeable. They should be an expert. Now, my mechanic's an expert, but he's got a feel. He likes what he does. He's involved. He likes being a mechanic. There's another difference. A lot of people that work in the fitness or health food industry don't like what they do, believe it or not. They're just there because it's a job and they're getting paid minimum wage and they just can't wait till the day is over. So how many dietary supplement retailers out there are like my mechanic friend? I mean, not many. Because, and this is what I'm challenging, there's no minimum standard of education. And my mechanic who works in an auto body shop has to have education. He wouldn't be there, couldn't be there, wouldn't even qualify for the job unless he was certified and qualified by his skill. So understanding anything in this life comes only through hands-on actual experience and a willingness to read, study, and learn. No one can comprehend the science of homeopathy, botanical medicine, or sports nutrition simply by osmosis. You just can't like meditate and absorb it from the people around you. You've got to hit the books. You got to do the dirty work, okay? And the dirty work is actually pretty good work, but it means getting some pages bent and taking your felt liner out there and working your book and getting into studying the life that you're about to live and are living. Now, as health and fitness professionals, we need to study structured course material ongoing for the rest of our lives. It never ends. Like Earl Nightingale says, the day that you die is the day that you stop learning. We need to embrace the obligation we have that demands a vast knowledge of the products we recommend. I mean, how can you possibly help someone if you don't know anything about the products you stock in your store? And you don't even need to have a store. If you know a lot about health, what it is, first of all, and how to get it, there's a lot you can do with that, people. There's really a tremendous good that we can do. The natural health industry is never going to really prosper until education, the right kind, becomes mandatory. But in the meantime, any individual with the eye of the tiger can easily move forward in this day and age and surpass the entire industry. I mean, I have to say that that's what I did. I took it upon myself. I didn't wait for the industry. No, because the industry is inside of me. I'm not in it. It's in me. And that's just the way it is. I came to terms with that. I figured out that that's what I'm designed to do. That's what I'm meant to do. That's what I want to do. And that's what I can do. So if you can find that in your own life, if you're doing something and you're not totally satisfied, take a step back and ask yourself why. Get clear about what you want to do. Go back, like in marriage, go back to when you first started. Did you have a good beginning? Because usually the way you start is how you're going to finish. What is the reason why you're doing what you're doing? Is it just to make money? Well, I'm sorry, but money cannot satisfy. I'm sorry. It's just not enough. Just stacked up in a room, you know, what do you do? Like Scrooge McDuck and count it all day long? You've got to be doing something with your life that brings satisfaction, fulfillment, and gratification. I find that if you can stay well through that process instead of lose your health, that you're truly a winner. That's what a winner is to me. That you're moving through life, you're growing inside, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, in every way. You're growing bigger and stronger and wiser, more humility, less arrogance, more centered, a sense of balance, and a sense of knowing and having confidence and not needing to prove anything to the world anymore because you know what you're doing and why. And you also know that when it comes to the big picture, and I'm talking about the expanse of the universe and the origin of life, nobody really knows what's going on. So that means that you're in the same position, you're on the same boat as everyone else. So you get to put your 2 cents worth into any conversation when it comes to trying to figure that stuff out. But in the real world, where you are right now, living in Toronto or Montreal or Phoenix or Auckland, New Zealand or Johannesburg, wherever you are, get clear about what it is that you want to do. To be truly successful means we need to reach out and take from life and the opportunities life presents exactly what we need and want and know what is right to take. So taking isn't necessarily bad. You've heard this concept about giving and taking, and people that give, give, give and never take become bankrupt. And the people that take, take, take and never give, they bankrupt the world and other people around them. And eventually they fall out of balance. So this is the right thing, to give and take. This is the right order, the correct balance, the best approach, and timing. We've all heard that timing is everything, but how essential is that also? Knowing when to do what needs to be done and actually doing it is the mark of a true champion. So what is an educated man? What is an educated woman? I just love this concept. It's a woman or a man who knows what they want and is doing what needs to be done to achieve it. And the achievement, the achieving is not the destination. It is the journey. Getting there, let's have some fun. And I'm talking about the end of your life, people. Getting there right now, today, with your children and family and where you live and how you're thinking. Are you having fun? Because life is brief. Time will be gone. Let's do what we want to do. Let's have fun. Let's engage in the sport of life and become the true champions that we really are and that we really can be. Okay, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from author William Allen. Education is not the answer to the question. Education is the means to the answer to all questions.